Change the Words, Make Me Blind. Chapter 34. Galen woke to the shimmering sunlight of mid-morning. She couldn't quite remember whether the room had still been bathed in the natural light of early evening when she'd surrendered to sleep, curled up against Kara as if she was some kind of substitute for the blankets the Maud Sith had kicked off in her so-called restful slumber. But she suspected it might have been. At least she rather hoped it had been, as the transition from dim half-light to full morning light would have meant they'd actually gotten a full night's rest. And, judging by the still slumbering body she was still tangled up around, so too had Kara. Apparently, as brutal as the act had been, Kara's hopes of being driven into dreamless sleep by the consciousness-devouring pain of her own Aegil had proved fruitful. Though Galen wasn't entirely sure how long they'd been sleeping for, she was fairly certain that neither of them had woken at all over the course of whatever time it had been. At the very least, Galen knew that she herself hadn't, and she was convinced that, if Kara had, the other woman's stirring would have woken her in the process. Extricating herself, more grudgingly than she'd ever admit, from the warmth and comfort of Kara's body, Galen allowed herself the luxury of a long and lazy stretch. She felt rested. Not pleasant, exactly, and certainly not content, but, at the very least, as though she could make it through most of the day without feeling the overpowering urge to collapse. As though she might actually survive the rigors that she knew would present themselves the instant Kara woke up, and realized that none of the feelings ricocheting through her heart had been changed by a single night of Aegil-induced almost rest. With some effort, Galen pushed those darker thoughts to the back of her mind, forcing herself to fix instead on how well-rested she felt. She would need that relaxation, that not-quite-contentment, brief as it was, if she was to survive the other, and she would need to remember with crystalline clarity how it felt. She needed this, just as Kara had needed the Aegil to her stomach the previous night, just as Zed had needed their forgiveness, just as Richard had needed Galen to be honest with him, in spite of the heartache it would cause. She moved slowly, fluidly, edging off the bed and crossing the room to the wash basin. A single glance at Kara was enough to tell her that she didn't need to concern herself with the formalities of being quiet. As light a sleeper as the Maud Sith usually was, she was clearly still out cold, because she hadn't so much as stirred when Galen had shifted both their bodies in the process of getting up. But she made the effort by force of habit anyway. Moving slowly, almost cautiously, she stripped and set to work washing herself as best she could with the meagre facilities, silently envying the bath that Kara had taken the previous night. A warm bath sounded like a gift from the Creator just then, but, however soundly Kara seemed to be sleeping, Galen had no intention of leaving her alone, and certainly not for the sake of her own leisure. It was a few long minutes before she felt clean and refreshed enough to redress, and, when she was done, she indulged herself in watching the rare fog of unself-conscious calm that seemed to wrap itself around Kara only when she was asleep. Even before all of this had heightened her wildness 100-fold, Kara had always been restless or aggressive when she was awake, and occasionally both at the same time, much to the detriment of any creature within 100 leagues of her. Now, though, wrapped up in sleep as she seemed almost human. Galen wasn't sure how long it was before Kara awoke, but it couldn't have been much more than a half hour, if even that long. It surprised her, really, that the Maud Sith had slept so much longer than she had. Even after taking the effects of the Aegil into consideration, it seemed almost unfathomable that she would sleep so long without waking. Kara was an expert in the art of thriving on very little sleep, and Galen had doubted that even the searing burn she'd inflicted with the Aegil would have been enough to keep her unconscious for more than an hour or two. Kara was, after all, nothing if not stubborn. And for once, she actually had a legitimate reason to keep herself awake, even if her body had been protesting the mere thought of it. Still, by some miracle, she had slept, and slept well. Had the reason not been so painful, Galen would almost have been proud of herself for having helped it to happen. As it was, She refused to feel anything but guilt for what she'd been forced to do with the Aegil, and instead just watched in silent awe as Kara lifted her hips, rolled over, and slowly opened her sleep-glazed eyes. "Kaelin," she croaked, voice throaty and a little groggy. "I'm here," Kaelin promised, crossing the space between the basin and the bed in two steps. "I'm right here, Kara." Kara licked her lips. "Water," she said, a request clad in the trademark Maud Sid garb of authority. "And a cloth." The note of command, small as it was, brought a smile to Kaelin's face, and she leaned over to retrieve the water skin without a second thought. Handing it over with what she hoped wasn't too sympathetic a smile, she crossed back to the basin to wet the abused scrap of fabric that had served as a washcloth too many times already. Kara, predictably, inclined her head a little but made no effort to thank Kaelin for her kindness. "How are you feeling?" Kaelin asked, as Kara sipped from the water skin. She was almost afraid of the answer, but she knew better than to try and prolong the inevitable by not asking at all. "You're looking a little better, at least." Kara snorted a laugh at that, nearly choking on the water. "I'm sure I do," she remarked dryly, with a poorly concealed grimace. "There are few things more conducive to good health, I'm sure, than taking an Aegil to the gut until you're rendered unconscious." There was no feint at humour in the observation, just a touch of self-deprecating wariness. Still, Kaelin felt a pulse of guilt drive itself like a nail through her heart. It didn't help, knowing how fervently she'd argued against the idea, and it certainly didn't help to know that Kara would have pushed and pushed for the rest of the night if she hadn't conceded as quickly as she did. She felt responsible, guilty and furious with herself, even though she knew, deep down, where her self-loathing mind couldn't ever find it, that the choice had been out of her hands the whole time. "I told you not to," she said, the protest coming out as far more of a whine than it should have. "I told you..." "You did," Kara affirmed, dabbing at her face with the cloth in a bid at removing the dried blood and sweat that lingered on her skin. "But, like I told you, I needed it. I needed the pain, and I still need it. It's a part of me. It's who I am. And Kaelin..." She paused in her ministrations, looking at the Mother Confessor with eager eyes. "I don't doubt that I'll need it again from you. Probably the next time we rest." She looked so hopeful, and yet all Kaelin could do was sigh with bone-deep frustration, the guilt dissolving into aggravation at Kara's refusal to accept any other means of recovery than pain. It was too easy, too Maud Sith, and Kaelin would not be a part of it again. "No," she said, proud of how strong her voice was. "Not again. Once was too much, and I won't go through it again. Not even for you, Kara." Kara narrowed her eyes, seeming to consider her words, and Kaelin watched unhappily as the need for pain waged war behind her eyes, with the desire not to make Kaelin suffer on her behalf. The conflict was so pronounced, so profound, that Kaelin found herself almost feeling bad for being the cause of it. Bad, she realized, for not wanting to see her friend hurt any more than she already was, for not wanting to be the one who had to inflict that hurt. It was so far beyond absurd that she would have laughed out loud if it wasn't also so serious. "I don't know what else to do," Kara admitted after a few moments. She wrung her hands, the cloth twisting in her grasp, eyes dark with torment. "Pain is all I know. It's all I can understand, Kaelin. It's all that I am." "But it's not all there is," Kaelin told her, very softly. Kara met her gaze, steady but sorrowful. "Right now, it is." Sighing heavily, frustration and sympathy coming together in a single sound, Kaelin placed a gentle hand on Kara's shoulder. She knew, of course, before it happened, that the Maud Sith would flinch and pull away, that she couldn't stop herself making the effort anyway. What Kara needed, more than anything else in the world right then, was exactly those softly reassuring touches. A hand on her shoulder, an arm across her back, lips pressed to her brow. The embrace of a friend and not an Aegil. But it was still too far beyond her ability to accept any of them. Knowing better than to push them now, though, Kaelin casually switched tactics. "Are you hungry?" she asked, unassuming. Kara shrugged carelessly, though Kaelin saw through the practiced indifference to the sparking interest beneath. "I assume you wish for breakfast." It was the closest she'd ever get to actually admitting that she wanted breakfast, Kaelin knew, though she was clearly just a hair's breadth away from a rumbling belly. Chuckling to herself, Kaelin allowed herself to be the scapegoat for Kara's pride. If it would get the other woman to eat something without argument or complaint, she would have done nearly anything. "Right," she affirmed with a smile. "I'm hungry." "I thought you might be," Kara said, nodding as if she'd somehow managed to fuel Kaelin's appetite with the power of suggestion alone. "We can eat, then, if you desire it." "You're very thoughtful," Kaelin told her, deadpan. "I know," Kara replied, sounding every bit as sage as said on one of his good days. As tempting as it was to cast aside the gloom and despondence of the room in immediate deference to the more welcome atmosphere that would no doubt be found down in the bar, Kaelin wasn't nearly so zealous as to neglect what needed to be done first. She fixed Kara with what she hoped was a stern glare, eyes raking down the Maud Sith's lean body until they were resting on the burn mark on her abdomen, wide and gaping like a beacon of pain and trauma right in the middle of Kara's leathers. "You should clean that," she said, hoping she sounded authoritative, even as she fought to ignore the stab of resurfacing guilt at having failed to do so the previous night. "And your leathers will need some stitching as well." Kara straightened up, staring at her as though the suggestion was the most offensive thing she'd ever heard in her entire life. "One does not stitch Maud Sith leather," she snapped, sounding positively aghast. "One repairs it. It is not some common travelling dress, Kaelin. It's armour." Had she not been so deathly serious, Kaelin would have laughed at her melodramatics. "All right," she said instead, trying to take Kara as seriously as she clearly wanted to be taken. "Your leathers will need some repairing better." "Infinitely," Kara replied. She was still completely serious, but this time Kaelin couldn't keep from laughing. Cleaning the wound was the simple part. The hole in the leather was wide enough that Kaelin didn't even need to remove the clothing, much to the relief of her increasingly strained chastity, to get at the injury underneath. It was swollen and bloody, but didn't seem to be particularly close to infection. Apparently, Kara's skin was more durable than her otherworld counterpart's was, if the number of festering fevers she'd soothed away while her companion was under the spell's effect was anything to judge by, and she was exceptionally glad of the fact, as, she suspected, was Kara. As angry as the wound looked, Kara didn't so much as blink as Kaelin cleaned it with the scrap of rough, and by this point overused, fabric. If she was honest, Kaelin was perhaps a little more methodical in taking her time on the task than she needed to be, if only because she was hoping that Kara would give in and offer some kind of reaction. She didn't want to make her companion suffer any more than she already was, of course, but it broke her heart to see her so stoic. It was as if, even now, she was afraid of showing any corner of herself to the woman who had seen so much more of her than either of them could imagine. Kaelin had earned the right to see Kara's pain, and Kara had earned the right to express it, and Kaelin's heart flooded with a surge of simultaneous sorrow and aggravation to see them both deny the thing they had gone to such lengths to earn. When it became apparent that Kara wasn't going to submit to showing any trace of discomfort, however obvious it was that she felt it, and however completely they both needed to see it shown, Kaelin gave up her efforts and declared the wound clean enough. There was no masking the touch of relief that flickered like a candle flame across Kara's features, even as Kayla knew better than to point it out, and the mother confessor masked a sad smile as she moved on to the rather more frustrating task of repairing the gaping hole in the Maud set's leather. Kara's insistence that her leathers were armor, and that, as such, they deserved to be treated with the utmost care and respect, was endearing for approximately 14 seconds. Then, when Kaylan tried to explain her intentions, with as much patience as she still possessed by that point, which wasn't very much, it swiftly became infuriating. Armor or not, leather was still a fabric, and Kaylan had had every intention of stitching it regardless of Kara's indignant complaints. But the Maud simply would not allow it to be done. It would be patched, and patched properly, she grumbled, or it would not be repaired at all. There was, after all, no room for badly fixed armor on the battlefield. It was simply too much hassle, Kaylan decided, to try and explain that, with the Keeper defeated and the Midlands closer to peace than they had ever been before. There weren't likely to be any battlefields in the foreseeable future. She wasn't entirely sure she could handle the look of childlike disappointment she was sure would flicker across Kara's two fragile features, and the thought of having to find some other pastime than violence. And so, because it wasn't worth the argument to convince the Maud Sith that stitching would work just as effectively as patching, Kaylan used strips from her own outfit to make a patch for the hole, and wasted far more time than she would have liked in repairing the damage. Kara, she couldn't help thinking, really should have done it herself, since the damage had been all her idea in the first place, and she still wasn't happy about having had to play a part in it at all. And yet, there was something oddly wonderful about being the one to do these things. To patch up Kara's clothes, to clean her wounds, to take care of her, even in such a small way as this. It was the greatest honor Kara was capable of bestowing, Kaylan knew, and she would be foolish not to recognize it as that. Kara did not allow anyone to take care of her. Everything she did, she insisted on doing for herself, right down to the removal and replacement of her clothing, a task that Kaylan knew from experience wasn't intended for a Maud Sith to undertake alone. Even though it took twice as long as it would have done if she'd ever just allowed herself to ask for assistance. But, of course, she was too proud, and too stubborn, and too damn Kara. And so, far more often than any of them could count, they had been forced to depart an hour later than they'd wanted on any given morning, after having to wait for Kara to finish dressing. And, because none of them had wanted an Aegil to the throat, her companions had not said a word about it. But here, in the locked-away solitude of this ill-kept bedroom, seemingly without even thinking of the weakness it showed, Kara was allowing Kaylan to clean the wound on her abdomen, and to repair a hole in her leather, and to do those things with her usual thoughtful diligence, taking her time and being careful. Even knowing as she did how much those gestures would mean to the Mother Confessor, she allowed them without so much as a word of complaint. At least, notwithstanding her outrage at the disrespectful insinuation that Maud Sith leather was just another article of clothing. It was a gift, really, and Kaylan accepted it with open arms, laboring over the annoying leather with an enthusiasm that overshadowed even her aggravation at having to adhere once again to Kara's overblown Maud Sith standards of self-importance. "I would have thought you'd be better at this," Kara observed when she was done, standing up to assess the quality of Kaylan's work. Kaylan chuckled wryly. She hadn't really expected a thank you, and so the lack of one didn't bother her. "I would have thought you'd be less inclined to damage your precious leathers in the first place," she shot back in good-natured retaliation. Kara's features darkened, and Kaylan knew that her thoughts were returning to the reasons why she'd asked for the pain in the first place. For a long moment, Kaylan wanted nothing more than to drive her head against the nearest wall for being so foolishly short-sighted. But she knew well enough that doing so wouldn't help either of them, and it wouldn't undo any of the damage, literal or figurative, that had been done, either by the Aegil or by her poorly conceived remark. Moreover, she knew far better than to expect that an apology for having put her foot in her mouth would be met with anything other than disdain and annoyance, and so she didn't try to offer one. Instead, because it was the only option that wouldn't end in frustration on both sides, she turned her attention, perhaps too swiftly, though Kara didn't seem to complain, to the subject at hand, breakfast. "If it meets with your approval," she said, forcing her tone to remain light despite the tumult rippling between them. "Can we go now?" Kara gave a wordless nod of affirmation. If Galen hadn't known better, she would have sworn she saw a flicker of relief touch the Mordsith's features in the instant before she washed the alien sentiment away in a flood of practiced indifference. Whether it was gratitude for the shift in subject, or simply gladness because she was hungry, or, indeed, if Galen had simply imagined it, had ever been there at all, she would never know. It must have been earlier in the day than Galen had thought, because when they made their way down the stairs and out into the tavern, it was practically void of life. Without preamble, Kara made her way to the nearest solid surface, lowering herself into a rickety-looking chair with a groan that she didn't even try to conceal. Galen wasn't sure whether it was because the headaches were plaguing her again, or whether she was still feeling the effects of the newly cleaned but still present wound in her gut. But she knew that Kara must have been in some very real pain, even by Maud Sith's standards, to allow herself such a blatant expression of discomfort in a public place, clear to anyone with a pair of eyes. It was so unlike her, and yet so beautifully unguarded, Galen didn't know what to make of it. Not wanting to risk upsetting the tentative camaraderie they'd established, she opted, despite her every instinct, to keep quiet on the subject, instead sticking to the safer topic of food. "What can I get you?" she asked. "And don't ask for ale. It's far too early even for you." Kara scowled, but it was a scowl laced with appreciation. Though she'd never say it aloud, Galen could see that she was grateful beyond words for the confessor's decision not to mention her momentary lapse. Resisting the temptation to smile her acceptance, Galen merely tilted her head and waited for an answer. "Very well," Kara grumbled moodily after a moment's deliberation. "Meat, then, if you insist on ruining my enjoyment." Galen chuckled. "What kind of—"
"Spirits, Galen, I don't care."
The vehemence of the outburst was not entirely surprising, given Kara's ill-concealed condition, and so Galen made no efforts to look affronted by it. Nor did she try to appear concerned, though she was, because she knew that that would be the fastest way to send Kara running as far away from her as possible. Finding the right amount of compassion to show to a Maud Sith was a precise science, and a very dangerous one at that. And, though Galen seldom got it exactly right, she was often far closer than most others. It wasn't perfect, she knew, but it was better than anyone else could have done. "All right," she said softly, and smiled when Kara allowed her to pat the back of her hand where it rested upon the table. The relative emptiness of the tavern made it a swift task to order breakfast, and she returned to Kara's side within a couple of minutes, two glasses of fruit juice in hand. She had briefly considered allowing Kara to indulge in something alcoholic despite the earliness of the hour. If ever there was a situation that warranted early morning drinking, she mused, it was this one. But she simply didn't trust the Maud Sith to lose control of her faculties right then. Besides, she hoped that the natural sugar of the juice would do well to restore some needed strength to them both. Kara, of course, didn't utter so much as a word of thanks, even as she thirstily chugged the drink that was placed in front of her. And Galen made no effort to coax the gratitude out of her. Instead, she simply sipped her own drink and watched quietly, as Kara slammed her empty glass on the table the instant she was done, and turned her attention to holding her fingertips with ever-increasing pressure against her forehead. Apparently, Galen deduced, it was the headaches that were bothering her, and not the Aegil-inflicted injury. "Kara," she said, and was perfectly prepared for the heated glare that Kara shot her. Ignoring the scowl, she reached across the table, taking Kara's hands in her own and gently lowering them to the table. That done, and not missing a beat despite the growing intensity of Kara's ire, she brought her own back up to cup the sides of the Mordsith's face, thumbs gently brushing the point where she was sure she could feel Kara's temples throbbing. "Let me," she murmured gently, circling the offending area.
"What is this?"
Kara hissed, instinctively self-protective. Kaelin smiled. "Something that isn't pain." It was a simple statement, but one that elicited a look of such adorable bafflement on Kara's face that Kaelin found herself wondering if she'd inadvertently spoken in a foreign tongue. There was helplessness, almost, in the way that Kara was staring at her, as though some part of her ached to embrace the sensation, while the rest wanted only to break contact and tear away before it became too close to reality. From the look of her, it seemed that the juxtaposition between the two was so great, so confusing, that it rendered her utterly unable to do either of them, or anything else at all except stare. Taking the almost frightened stillness as encouragement, Kaelin gently caressed Kara's temples with the pads of her thumbs, rhythmic circles born of tenderness, and watched with a silent smile as Kara's eyelids fluttered lazily beneath the combined weight of appreciation and befuddlement. "Kaelin," she managed. Her voice was thick, and though she probably intended it as a complaint, it didn't sound like one at all. "Kaelin, this isn't..." "Don't," Kaelin told her, authority mingling with compassion. "Just accept it, Kara." Kara twitched at that, apparently annoyed at having been instructed to do anything, least of all something so apparently unwanted as this, but acquiesced regardless, closing her eyes completely and leaning almost unconsciously into Kaelin's ghostly touches. "This is weakness," she groaned, visibly hating herself for accepting it. "This is..." "It's strength, Kara," Kaelin replied, her words as soft as her touch. "It's shaping pain into something else. Something good. It's friendship. It's... love." Suddenly shaking, her hands stilled. Beneath them, Kara grumbled out a whine of protest at the loss of rhythm, but Kaelin ignored her. Neither of them were ready for that admission. Not yet. Kara was still reeling from the memory of experiences that weren't hers, still lost in a haze of pain and trauma that she still believed were her penance. She was broken and lost, a helpless little girl, dressed in the leather trappings of a monster. And the last thing she needed was for Kaelin to frighten her with words like love. "It's compassion," she finished, hating how pathetic the word sounded by comparison.
"No," Kara replied, sounding bitter. "It's not. It's pity, Kaelin. You pity me."
Despite herself, though she knew that Kara would have said exactly the same thing no matter who was sitting opposite her, the accusation left Kaelin feeling wounded. "Don't you know me better than that?" she asked, unable to keep the flinching hurt from touching her voice, though she knew that Kara, even now, would no doubt relish the sound of it. "Kara, I would never pity you."
"You do it all the time,"
Kara retorted, relentless.
"Every time you speak to me, every time you look at me, from the moment I came out of the spell, it's all I've seen in you. You see me as a child, helpless and vulnerable and in need." She growled low in her throat. "I am not a child, Kaelin."
"No," Kaelin conceded. "But you are in need." What happened next, she couldn't be entirely sure of. All she knew was that one moment, she was gazing deep into Kara's eyes, willing her with all her heart to understand the difference between worry and pity. And then, less than a second later, she was suddenly on her back, staring up at the ceiling with a bolt of pain lancing across the side of her face like white lightning, and Kara standing over her like a harbinger of death.
Don't, the Maud Sith was panting, ever say that again.
Suddenly, Kaelan was exceptionally glad that the bar was as good as empty. She had little memory of having taken the blow, but her instincts told her that it must have looked embarrassing.
Did that help? She asked, studying Kara in such a way that made it perfectly clear she wasn't angry.
Kara growled, and that was answer enough. Gingerly, Kaelan pulled herself upright, climbing to her feet with careful slowness as the room pitched. Apparently, Kara had hit her harder than she'd thought. She wasn't sure whether to be impressed by the Maud Sith's strength despite her precarious state, or simply amused that she'd waste so much of it on such a purposeless assault.
Kara, she said, still taking care to make it clear that she wasn't holding a grudge for the ringing in her ears or the tilting of the room.
You have to stop substituting pain for pain. You can't keep taking one kind of pain and turning it into a different kind, just because you think you'll be able to understand it better. You can't just bleed out everything until there's nothing left. Sometimes pain just needs to heal.
Both of Kara's Aegils were in her hands, and Kaelan watched as she squeezed them tightly enough that she was sure her knuckles were turning white beneath her leather gloves. Briefly, she found herself wondering which of the two of them Kara was planning to use the weapons on, and the fact that both were as likely as each other fueled the worry that had been bubbling ominously in the pit of her stomach. Kara was unstable. It only took a moment's glance at her face to know that, and Kaelan was afraid of what she'd do, to herself so much more than anyone else.
Maud Sith are pain, Kara snarled, feral.
Maybe, Kaelan conceded, but you're more than just Maud Sith. You've been with us for over a year, you know that. You're more than your training, and you're more than the pain that shaped you. You're more, Kara. You're one of us.
I can never be like you,
Kara replied, and the cracking of her voice told Kaelan that the rage was a cover for something so much more vulnerable.
I...
You can, Kaelan promised her. You are.
I thought I could be,
Kara replied, and her hands were shaking as hard as her voice.
But I don't know how to... I can't reconcile this, Kaelan. This is pain beyond pain. It is breaking beyond breaking. And it's all my own doing. Maud Sith are pain, not because it's all they know, but because it is all they're capable of. We cannot feel, cannot give, and we cannot love. These things are beyond our grasp. All we have to offer, for ourselves and others as well, is pain.
Dahlia gave you more, Kaelan reminded her. She gave you compassion, pleasure, kindness. What she gave you was love. Kara stopped in her tracks, choking low in her throat. For a long moment, the only sound between them was the near-deafening hum of her Aegils, as she gripped them ever more tightly with each moment that passed.
Isn't that what this was about? Kaelan demanded, emboldened by the way Kara seemed unable to argue. Wasn't that why you wanted to go through all this in the first place? So you could remember what it was to be loved? To have a sister who was more than a Maud Sith? To have a friend, a confidant, a maid in her?
Kaelan.
Because of her you showed mercy to a confessor, Kaelan went on, ignoring the shuddering protestations of the woman in front of her. Because of what she bred in you, because of her weakness, you knew friendship, you knew affection. You did know love, Kara, because of what she was to you. In a world where you had her, you were so much more than pain. And now you've had the chance to see that world, to see that Kara. I won't let you believe yourself to be less. I won't let you undo every inch of progress you've made with us. Everything I saw in you while you were living her life. Everything you've become and everything you've always been.
She broke off, suddenly realizing that she needed to breathe. Kara was staring at her, eyes wide and mouth wider, and Galen drew strength from her expression, swallowing down just enough air to keep going. "You're more than the scream of your rage, Jills," she said. "And you're more than the headaches and the nosebleeds and the memories of a breaking you never even went through. You're more than the knowledge of your past deeds, and you're more than the remorse you never thought you'd feel for them. You are human, Kara." "I am," Kara started. I... "Say it," Galen commanded her, urgent. "Say it." Kara closed her eyes. "I am afraid." Moving slowly, almost worried that any sudden movement would frighten Kara into running away, Galen closed the space between them and pulled the Maud Sith into an embrace, not even bothering to try and avoid the rod still in her hands. What was a surreptitious brush with an Aegil, she thought, after what they'd been through together. "I know," she whispered into her hair, heart melting when Kara didn't pull away despite her obvious desperation to resist the unfamiliar intimacy. "I know."
"I can't do this,"
Kara whimpered, so very scared.
"I can't know what I know, endure the pain I endure, remember every ounce of suffering I ever caused, and still feel."
"You can," Galen told her, "because you're not alone, Kara. You don't have to go through all this by yourself, and you don't have to make yourself suffer just because suffering is all you know. I'm here, I'm right here, and I know all the things you've done, in this world and in that one. And I'm still here. I'm still here and I'm still holding you and I still care for you. I know everything about you, Kara. Your deeds and your pain and your life. The life you lived and the life you didn't. I know it all and I still love you." Kara tensed in her arms, as though she'd been physically struck. Galen waited for her to pull away, to stare slack-jawed and wide-eyed in some combination of horror and disbelief at that word. That terrifying, hated, alien word. But she didn't. She didn't move at all for some time, and it was only by the occasional tremors that racked both their bodies that Galen knew she was still breathing at all. When she finally did shift, however, and Galen had no idea how much later it was, minutes or moments or millennia, it wasn't to pull away. It was to bury her face in the crook of Galen's neck, settling against the confessor like her arms and her embrace and her touch were the only home she'd ever known. "I still can't say it," she mumbled. Her voice was thick and indistinct and choked by unshed tears, but Galen didn't care.
"I still can't tell you, even now. Galen..."
"Shh," Galen soothed. "You don't have to." Finally, Kara did pull away, and her eyes were as wide and wet as Galen had ever seen them. She wasn't crying, but she was dangerously close.
"It's not enough," she said,
the sentence coming as little more than a ragged breath.
"It's not enough just to want to. It's not enough."
"Kara," Galen heard herself breathe. She had never been more grateful for anything than she was when the barkeep chose the moment that followed to bring their breakfast, because she had no idea what she could have possibly said to add to the name that was suddenly everything in her world. What possible assurances she could have given that would give even a fragment of what they both knew Kara needed. "We should eat," Kara said blankly, eyes fixed on the plate as it was deposited carelessly on the table. "Before it gets cold." They ate together but separately, in mostly silence. Kara kept her attention locked on the food in front of her, face inscrutable and eyes suddenly void of all life, and Galen focused on everything in the room that wasn't Kara. She wanted to say more, to tell the other woman everything, to pour out every part of herself and her feelings. But she knew that it just wasn't possible. She'd used the word love, and Kara hadn't fled. But any more, and she knew that would all change. She couldn't hear that word, not in the context Galen had meant it, not while she was still so vulnerable. Whatever steps Kara took from now on, Galen knew she needed to take them herself. Galen had done everything she could, had taken blows and held Aegils and sat as witness to tortures beyond measure. She had done it all, and she had done it, she liked to think, with little more than the barest of flinches. She had emptied herself, lost herself, held herself before Kara, as open and exposed as the wounds the Maud Sith seemed to crave so desperately, and she had offered everything she had. There was nothing more that she could do or say, however badly she wished there was. Kara needed to take her healing into her own hands, and if she needed help, she needed to ask for it. It wasn't good enough, not any more, for Galen to keep offering. Kara needed to start accepting. Galen. Kara mumbled around a mouthful of rabbit, and Galen felt her heart skip a beat. Galen, I... Kara? Galen asked, genuinely curious as the Maud Sith flailed hopelessly. I am... She closed her eyes. I am sorry, Galen. For what? Galen asked blankly. She couldn't quite conceal her disappointment, but Kara didn't seem to notice it. Everything, she answered with raw honesty. For making you endure so much on my behalf. For making you witness the things you must have seen. For putting you through my pain and for making you inflict it, for... If Galen didn't know better, she would have sworn Kara was blushing. For punching you, just because you said I was in need. You were right to say it, and even if you hadn't been, I was wrong to strike you for it. Her eyes were rolling wildly in her head, as if she wasn't sure where to look, and that in itself was enough to tell Galen just how important this speech was to her. She wanted to say something, to tell Kara that she understood the gravity of the apology, the depth of what she was hearing, but she couldn't bring herself to interrupt. Galen, Kara pressed on unsteadily. I want you to know that, of all the suffering I've inflicted, and all the pain I'm yet to inflict in my life, I do not wish to inflict any more on you. Galen didn't know what to say. Part of her knew just how precious an admission that was, how close it came to the ever-elusive pledge of affection that, even now, she'd only ever heard falling from the lips of a Kara that wasn't hers. But the rest of her couldn't help wishing for something more than that. She knew it was unfair, knew that Kara was doing as much as she was able, giving up everything she had as best she could, but there was still an indefinable void screaming in her, and an ache for completeness. Don't apologize, she said at last, and the words sounded as hollow to her own ears as she knew they must sound to Kara's. Everything you did, I let you do. I agreed to be there with you for the spell, and I let you talk me into doing what you wanted last night. She couldn't quite bring herself to speak the words, describe the act that still made her ache to think of, even as Kara quirked an eyebrow at her obvious evasiveness. Ignoring her, Galen left it at that, moving on with as much swiftness as she could. I said you were in need, even though I knew you'd react the way you did. You've done nothing to me, Kara, that I didn't bring on myself, willingly, for you. Trust me, Kara, you have nothing to apologize for. She leaned across, brushing Kara's wrist almost intangibly with the back of her hand, even as her aching heart cried out for so much more. Don't waste your energies on regret. Spend them on healing. For a long moment, Kara said nothing, staring thoughtfully down at the rabbit carcass she'd been devouring and visibly trying to put into words all the tumultuous thoughts that were ricocheting through her. I don't know how to, she said, after what seemed like a lifetime of strained and effortful silence. I was not exaggerating or being stubborn when I told you that pain is the only thing I can understand. She sighed, as though for the first time in her life she truly hated the creature she had been made.
Galen, truly, pain is all I know.
It was a tragic revelation, Galen couldn't help thinking, not least of all because she had hoped that the spell might have made a change in that department. The other world Skara had been so much purer, so much more open to feelings and emotions, so much more expressive of herself. Had she been able to survive Ral's enhanced efforts to re-break her, instead of succumbing to the pull of dark magic as they knew she had, Kaelan wondered how she would have recovered from the trauma of such pain. Would she have been as much affected as Skara was, just from the ghost of it? Or would she have been clear-minded enough to realize that all the regret in the world couldn't change what had been done? As she reached across the table, cupping Kara's cheek in her hand, feeling the way she tensed even as she leaned reflexively into the tender touch, Kaelan wondered if perhaps it was simply that her Kara had more to regret. "Teach me," Kara whispered, so softly that Kaelan almost didn't hear her over the twin pounding of their hearts. "Teach me to heal."